الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mentioning and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 275. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتثبطه الشيطان من المس، ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا، وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا، فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله، ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات، والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم. Allah Azza wa Jal says, interpretation of the meaning in English: those who eat riba, usury, one of the definitions actually, riba is a little more broad or broader than usury only, but this is one of the most common ways of riba. Those who eat usury will not stand on the day of resurrection except like the standing of a person beaten by Satan. Like a person standing beaten by Satan, leading him to insanity. This is how bad his situation is. That is because they say, trading is only like riba, whereas Allah has permitted trading and forbidden riba. They're not the same. So whosoever receives an admonition from his Lord and stops eating riba shall not be punished for the past. His case is for Allah to judge. But whoever returns to riba, such are the dwellers of the fire, they will abide therein eternally. Then Allah will destroy riba and will give increase for sadaqat, deeds for charity, alms, etc. And Allah likes not the disbelievers, sinners. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, لما ذكر الله حال المنفقين وما لهم من الله من الخيرات وما يكفر عنهم من الذنوب والخطيئات ذكر الظالمين أهل الربا والمعاملات الخبيثة. After Allah Azza wa Jalla had mentioned the condition of the hypocrites, and what then he also mentioned, لما ذكر حال المنافقين عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. What he mentioned, the condition of the hypocrites, and I guess he means and the condition of the believers, the righteous, sincere believers, but that word is omitted. And what rewards is awaiting them with Allah, and how Allah will expiate their sins and their mistakes. Allah mentioned al-zalimeen. It's okay. Al-zalimeen from dhulm, and dhulm is what? Dhulm. No. Well, I mean, yes, but
shirk.
Well, it could be shirk at times, but not necessarily. What's the most? What is the direct definition of dhulm? Zalim. Zalamna anfusana. Oppression. Oppression, ya jama'ah. Oppression. We need to work on our Islamic terminology. That's important for da'wah. Dhulm is oppression. Zalim is an oppressor. Now, dhulm can come as meaning of shirk, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem, but it's great oppression, because you are wronging yourself and you are wronging the rights of Allah and the creation by committing shirk. So dhulm is oppression. Zalim is one who oppresses people. Zalamani, he oppressed me. Alright? That's what dhulm is. Allah mentioned the zalimeen, meaning those who wind up wrongdoers, those who go beyond the limitations, which in fact winds up oppressing other people. And this is what riba is. You know, what is riba? Taking advantage of someone in need. You need 500 riyals, and as a brother, I'm supposed to be there for you by giving you the 500 riyals, wherein you pay me back at your convenience for an agreement we would have without anything else. However, the murabi, the one who's engaged in riba, he doesn't want you to give him back 500 riyals, he wants 600 riyals. Or he will ask, okay, if every month goes by and you haven't paid me yet, then we will put 3% of whatever that amount is. That's what riba is. What does that do? The person who's already in a state of need now is in a worse situation. Not only now he owes you money, he owes you more than he borrowed from you. A'udhu billah. Why? Yeah, the person needs help, so you put him deeper in the hole. And if you look at the world economy, what has destroyed the economy to some extent right now is this particular concept. You will hardly find someone who was in debt and then got a loan from a bank and was ever able to get out. You find that they went deeper and deeper and deeper into hole until they reach a point where they file for bankruptcy, you know, and then there's nothing they can do anymore. Then their credit becomes bad, you know, they have a whole system in the West, a very wicked system, which is aimed at taking advantage of the help, the people who are in need of help, where the one who already has money will make more money. He's already got money, all he has to do is lend you some money, and now he will just make a whole bunch in return. A'udhu billah. So you see, then this is one of the biggest crimes, man. You will see what Allah says concerning this. You'll see. So Allah mentioned the condition of the wrongdoers, the people of riba, and the evil transactions. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُمْ يُجَازُونَ بِحَسَبِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. And Allah said that they will be reckoned or recompensed according to their deeds. فَكَمَا كَانُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا فِي طَلَبِ الْمَكَاسِبِ الْخَبِيثَةِ كَالْمَجَانِينَ. عليكم السلام. The same way in this dunya, they were obnoxious in terms of trying to earn money, just like crazy people. You know crazy people? Someone who can't just keep his control, he can't control himself. The way these people, the obsession they have with money is in such a description that like they're a crazy person, someone who's insane. So the same way they were like that in the dunya, عُوكِبُوا فِي الْبَرْزَخِ وَالْقِيَامَةِ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَقُومُونَ مِنْ قُبُورِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ بَعْثِهِمْ وَنُشُورِهِمْ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. They will be recompensed in the barzakh, which is the life in between, the intermediary between this dunya, or the middle interval, I'm sorry, between the dunya and the life to come. They in that condition and in the life to come, on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will treat them accordingly. So much so that they will not resurrect from their graves except like someone who is being beaten by the shaitan to the extent of insanity. This is how they will be resurrected. أي من الجنون والصرع وذلك عقوبة وخزي وفضيحة لهم وجزاء على مراباتهم ومجاهرتهم. Meaning craziness, insanity. And this is a punishment, it is disgrace and it's embarrassment concerning them, and it is a recompense from Allah to them due to their involvement and engagement in riba transactions. And doing so publicly. Mujahara is when you disobey Allah publicly. And this is a very important element in Islam which many people are heedless about. Sins are at levels in terms of what kind of evil you receive in return. One sin, the same exact sin, done in a particular environment, in a particular situation, or regarding particular people, will change the level of transgression in that sin. Smoking a cigarette is haram, without a doubt. It's haram, forbidden for the Quranic text and the narrations from the Prophet ﷺ. This is not the time to elaborate. Smoking a cigarette in your bathroom while feeling guilty that you're unable to smoke is one condition. You're sinful, however, this is like the minimum state. Smoking a cigarette in your living room with your children running around, now this is a whole other situation. Now you're affecting your children, and the transgression is moving on to the people around you. Smoking a cigarette downstairs at a buffet where people are going to have breakfast is now double trouble for you, because you're harming yourself, harming the people, and all the food is getting contaminated with your nasty smoke. So anyone who may get sick because of the food, being bad now, you will get a share of all of that, because you're the one who had instigated this sin. Smoking in the haram is now all of that and more, because now you're in a sanctuary that is sacred. You are in an area where you're supposed to magnify Allah, not disobey Him. And smoking in front of the Kaaba is the worst of all. You see? smoking in the presence of a scholar, which is also disrespecting him while at the haram. Now you see what I'm saying? It's at all times you're puffing, inhaling, exhaling. But the level of sin will multiply per the situation, per the condition, the environment. So when someone is engaged in riba and they're doing so publicly, they don't care. Okay? They flat out say, you know, riba, we're doing riba. This is not the same as someone who is guilty and trying to quit and so on and so forth. So we need to be mindful of that. When we sin, and we ask Allah to prevent us from sinning continuously, we're going to fall into sin inevitably. When we sin, we need to consider the situation. Is this sin involving myself or is it going to involve other people? If it's going to involve other people, wherein I'm wronging them, this is the worst thing you can do. Because we also have another principle in Islam, that when you disobey Allah, and it's only between you and Allah, no matter what the sin is, you are qualified to be forgiven by Allah. Allah may forgive you, even if you disobey Him. In this dunya and in the life to come, you may come on the day of judgment with packs of cigarettes you have spoken, but you repented to Allah, okay, from that, or even you did it. Allah decides to forgive you. No one has any say in it. Why? The sin is between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Once other people get involved, that can never be forgiven. Once you have oppressed a Muslim who had to inhale the smoke that you smoked, this will carry until the day of judgment. They will never be forgiven. He will come on the day of judgment and say, give me my right. Give me the fresh air which Allah created that I was deprived of because of you hanging around me smoking all day. You will never be able to give it back to him. So as it comes in the hadith of the muflis, the bankrupt one, he will take away from your good deeds equivalent amount to the wronging that he received from you in the dunya. Even if you had many good deeds, Allah forgave you sins. He will take from you. Then the hadith says, if you run out of good deeds, let's say you have been smoking around people for so long that all these people were wronged in the process, and if you don't have any more good deeds to pay back, the hadith says then some of their evil deeds will be taken away from them, placed on you, and you'll be thrown into Jahannam. Ouch! Ouch! For what? Wronging people. So the people take it easy. You know, people think we're joking all the time when we say, you better stop smoking, akhi. You better stop listening to music, you know, out loud, and you're bumping it in your car. Because these entail wronging Muslims, harming Muslims, and that will not be forgiven. That will be taken back on the day of judgment. This is the rights of Allah. The rights of Allah will be forgiven if Allah wills. The rights of the creation is qisas. Qisas, meaning you will be paid back according to what is due to you. You see how serious that is? So we need to keep that in the back of our mind. So they were doing the riba publicly. بقولهم, how did they do it publicly? It was a statement they made. إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ riba. Trade, transactions, regular buying and selling. It's just like riba, it's the same thing. فَجَمَعُوا بِجَرَاءَتِهِمْ بَيْنَمَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ وَبَيْنَمَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَاسْتَبَاحُ بِذَلِكَ الرِّبَى. So with this, you know, they had the nerve to bring, to combine between what Allah made halal and what Allah made haram. And then furthermore, they made riba lawful. They made it lawful for themselves. ثُمَّ عَرَضَ تَعَالَى التَّوْبَةَ عَلَى الْمُرَابِينَ وَغَيْرِهِمْ. Thereafter, Allah offered tawbah. Tawbah, repentance, to those engaged in riba and others. فَقَالْ فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. Whosoever receives an an admonishment from his Lord. بَيَانْ مَقْرُونْ بِهِ الْوَعْدُ وَالْوَعِدِ. Meaning, information, clarity in information, including وَعَدْ, promise of what you will get in terms of good, وَعِدْ, threat of what you will get in terms of bad, in case you continue in your transactions. فَانْتَهَى, he desists. If the admonishment comes to you from Allah, and you say, أعوذ بالله, I will never deal with riba anymore. I will never deal with riba anymore. And you had people owed you some money. You had taken some people's money before, right? And you stop, it's over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْتَهَى عَمَّا كَانَ يَتَعَاطَاهُ مِنَ الرِّبَى. He desists from what he used to get engaged in of riba. فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ مِمَّا تَجَرَّ عَلَيْهِ وَتَابَ مِنْ. So whatever he had earned is fine, because it's in the past. as long as he repents. وأمره إلى الله, and his affairs to Allah, فيما يستقبل من زمانه, فإن استمر على توبته فالله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. So in terms of the future, if he remains of his, upon his tawbah, then his affair to Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah does not waste the good deeds of the good doers, those who excel. Actually, muhsinin is, as per Nu'man, more accurate translation, ihsan is excelling, from excellence, because good is jayyid, right? Hasan, ihsan, when it comes in the Quran, is the ultimate form of goodness. So goodness is a little weaker in English. Excellent is stronger, right? Even in the exam, it's good, very good, excellent. So muhsinin are those who excel, those who go beyond the good or the very good stage. على كل حال, ومن عاد بعد بيان الله وتذكيره وتوعده لأكل الربا فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Whosoever though returns, continues, gets engaged in these transactions again after Allah had made it clear for him that the punishment for the ones who get involved in riba, then Allah has promised one who consumes riba that he would be in the hellfire, he'll be among the companions of the hellfire, abiding there in eternity. But we will clarify. في هذا الربا أن في هذا أن الربا موجب لدخول النار والخلود فيها. Now, the apparent meaning of the ayah, indicates that consuming riba will place you in the hellfire eternally. Is this the case? Ha jama'ah, can a Muslim remain in the hellfire forever without getting out?
No.
So then, this is very fundamental, because these are the verses that the Khawarij, those among the Muslims, the first group to deviate from mainstream Islam, these are the proofs and evidences that if you are doing haram, you're a kafir, and I should kill you. So they go out killing Muslims. They don't go to the kuffar, they go to their own Muslims. Go to a masjid, blow it up. And they think they're doing this for the sake of Allah. Why? They have declared kufr on these individuals because of some sin they may be engaged in, major sin. So the Khawarij, their main characteristic was, they considered the Muslims who were engaged in major sins to be non-Muslims, disbelievers. And subsequently, this meant that their blood is lawful, so there's no sanctity for that Muslim, he may be killed. Very dangerous belief system. When we deal with these verses, we have to have a fundamental understanding in Islam, which is what? Looking into the teachings of Islam comprehensively. We don't pick an ayah or a hadith and try to understand the whole teachings of the religion in the light of one ayah or one hadith. If you do so, then according to you, all those who pray should go to Jahannam. Because Allah said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, woe to those who pray. Can you understand this ayah without reading the next ayah? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, you can't. And if you wanted to say Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, we say, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. If someone say, they are abiding in hell by eternity, say, time out man. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive that you associate partners with Him, but He forgives whatever is lesser than that to whomever He wills. So now, the same way you cannot understand فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ without الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ, you can't understand this ayah without the other. That's why you need a scholar. That's why when we start learning knowledge, sometimes we get excited, you know. We read an ayah somewhere, a hadith, and we start giving fatwa towards the ayah or the hadith. Not enough, akhi. Because there may be other verses and other narrations further explaining this ayah, or maybe abrogating this ayah, or whatever. So you need to refer back to the ulama. If you've heard it from the ulama, then this ayah is firm and can be used in evidence, and it doesn't have any other evidences which change the understanding, then you may go ahead and give fatwa to the people per the information you got from the scholars. Otherwise, it's a very sensitive area. Some people come and read that Allah said, verily the Jews and the Christians and all those who believe in Allah last day, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. No grief shall be upon them, nor shall they have fear. So they say, okay, everybody's going to Jannah. Allah said in the Quran, the Jews and the Christians and the Sabi'een, you know, everyone's going to Jannah. Say, no, 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 no. You can't understand this ayah without looking at the other ayahs. Where Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمُ. They have disbelieved those who say that Allah is the Messiah, the son of Mary. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٍ. They have disbelieved those who said that Allah is one of three. Now this ayah is Allah declared kufr on them. And we know the kafir cannot go to Jannah. So how are you putting him in Jannah? You see? So be careful then. And know that the deen of Islam is firm and sound in its teachings. It requires though knowledge. We must have knowledge of what's going on before we tackle these particular issues. So we will see how the ulama deal with this ayah in the light of the other ayah. So people will not go off track. Now, so this ayah entails that the person who involves in riba shall go to Jahannam forever. وَذَلِكَ لِشَنَعَتِهِ مَا لَمْ يَمْنَعْ مِنَ الْخُلُودِ مَنَعْ الْإِيمَانِ. And this is because of the abhorrence of riba. However, unless there's a preventive which prevents him from abiding eternity. Meaning, the nature or the level of that crime is so severe that you deserve to go to Jahannam eternally, but because you're a believer, that's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? Yani, I'm giving you a working example. Your boss, let's say a son works for his father in the company, okay? And this boy, this child, the son of the owner of the company, he winds up engaging with the competitors in the business, giving them all the secrets of the work in the business, and basically destroying his father's business altogether. Okay? Something which if an employer found out from an employee, he will send him to prison. They will file a lawsuit and they will terminate his life. Okay, they will send him to prison, he will never get out, make him pay 10 billion riyals in terms of loss, to make up for the loss. This is what you will do with what? With an ordinary employee because of what? The level of the crime. But if it's the son of the owner, he will just say, you know, what you did deserves all that, but all I will do is I will fire you. Now he's not going to make him pay all the money, he's not going to take it. It's his son. You see the point? So what we're trying to make a distinction here is what you have done deserves this major punishment. But if you were a believer, that holds so much water. That is so valuable in the sight of Allah that even that crime of riba is not going to take you to Jahannam forever because iman is superior to that crime. You get me? Had you not had iman, then that crime of yours deserves that you go to Jahannam forever. Because some other crimes may not deserve that you go to Jahannam forever. You may just get some punishment. So is that clear? Isn't it wonderful? Alhamdulillah. طيب. وذلك نعم. وهذا من جملة الأحكام التي تتوقف على وجود شروطها وانتفاء موانعها. This is among the many rulings in Islam which are conditional to the availability of their conditions and the absence of their preventives. Yani there are many rulings in Islam where the ruling does not apply unless every condition is there and every preventive is gone. Once every condition for the rule to apply is there and every preventive from the rule every preventive that would prevent the rule from applying is gone, then the ruling is applied. You get me? Example. I have to think of an example. But the issue of ignorance. If you ate something while fasting, let's say you're a Balik Islam, new Muslim, okay? And somehow they told you everything about Ramadan and Ramadan is good and you should fast, but no one told you that you shouldn't eat and drink during the day. Okay, they gave you all the verses of patience and sincerity, but they missed the most fundamental teaching, which is you can't eat. Alright? And then you wind up, you know, you woke up in the morning, life is good, alhamdulillah, fasting, and you open your fridge and you know you start having breakfast. Now, here, This is one person. Another person is one who knows. Both of them open the fridge and have breakfast together. Alright? For the ruling to apply, for the fasting to be invalidated, all the conditions that are there for the ruling to apply should be met, and all things which prevent the ruling from applying should be missing, should be gone. So we look into both affairs. The one who knew, what are the conditions? What are the conditions that need to be met that he should have? That, you know, he knows what he's doing, he's fasting and blah blah blah. What are the preventives? Ignorance. It's not like he's ignorant or he forgot, because we know if you forget, it doesn't affect your fast, so on and so forth. So when all of the things, the conditions for the ruling to apply are there, and all the preventives are gone, then the ruling applies. The other individual, what is among the preventives from the ruling to apply? Knowledge. He didn't have knowledge, so the ruling doesn't apply. Once he is taught, he continues fasting. You see what I'm saying? Just like the one who forgot. Why? Because not everything that was supposed to be the preventives, the prevent the ruling, not all of them were missing. One of them was there. Ignorance. Hey, I'm ignorant. So the ruling doesn't apply. Is that clear, or did I confuse you more?
Yes.
Allahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal. وليس فيها حجة للخوارج كغيرها من آيات الوعيد. There's no evidence therein for the khawarij. Then, as in other verses of wa'id, were threats from Allah Azza wa Jal. فالواجب أن تصدق جميع نصوص الكتاب والسنة فيؤمن العبد بما توادرت به النصوص من خروج من في قلبه أدنى مثقال حبة خردل من الإيمان من النار ومن استحقاق هذه الموبقات لدخول النار إن لم يتب منها. So then, it is incumbent on everyone, every believer, to believe in all of the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, and that which is known, the verses that are abundantly quoted to us, and also to believe in the many, narrations, many evidences which have been narrated to us, that the one who had the weight of a grain, of a mustard, of iman, shall eventually be taken out of the fire. I repeat, because some people got lost while people were moving. Again, we believe that whoever has the weight of a grain, of a mustard, of iman, shall be taken out of the fire at some point in time. Even if it's that tiny, he believed in La ilaha illallah, but he was committing crime on the condition he was doing salah. If he doesn't do salah, he's not part of La ilaha illallah. Not part of La ilaha illallah. There's no iman for the one who doesn't do prayer. We are saying that he prayed, and he believed, and he was falling in fornication, he was drinking alcohol, he was engaged in riba, all this stuff. But if he had that one grain of iman, he will eventually be taken out of the fire. Some people are tricked by the shaitan. They say, oh yeah? Alright, cool. I'll have fun. And one day I'll be taken out. Say, what an odd approach. You cannot, we have a number of reputations. Number one, are you serious? You really want to try Jahannam? I mean, do you really want to burn? Allah knows for how long? All over your body, your face, your stomach, your heart. You know, even على الأفئدة. Inna, you know, tattali'u ala al-afida, the nar will be looking right in your heart. It's gonna break and rip through your body into your internals, the fire. You really want to try? And say, wallah, you know, one day I will make it out of Jahannam, go to Jannah. Say, this is nonsense, this is foolish. No one will do that in real life. One. Two, who guaranteed you that if you continue to enjoy yourself, that Allah will allow you to remain a Muslim to begin with? Who told you? Who guaranteed you that you will die in the state of Islam? Who guaranteed you will die with that one grain of iman? No guarantee. In fact, we have narrations and verses in the Quran which threaten us that if you continue to travel upon the path of misguidance, you may become blind and never see the truth again. You will never be guided again. You will leave Islam altogether and think Christianity is the true religion of God. And we will talk to you for years, you will not be convinced. That is the consequence of insisting on disobeying Allah deliberately, without repenting, without feeling guilty, remorse, and so on and so forth. So we say, brother, don't let the shaitan play games with you, man. We don't want to go to Jahannam, period. Allah, let me just go, let me die with that one grain of iman. You want to die with your iman on full, your gas, your tank on full, so you can go to Jannah directly. You don't have to worry about all the prophets. This should be our attitude if we understand. Tab Jameel. Okay. And then we believe, right? And that the punishment is due to enter the fire on those who do not repent from these particular sins. Tab verse 276. ثم أخبر تعالى أنه يمحق مكاسب المرابين ويربي صدقات المنفقين. Then Allah informed us that He will demolish, destroy, may invalidate the earnings of those engaged in riba, and He will grow and increase the sadaqat, the charity, the spending of those who spend in His cause. عكس ما يتبادر لأذهان كثير من الخلق. This is in opposition, this is against what many people assume among the creation. What is the general assumption? The general assumption is, if I have 10,000 riyals and I lend various people 5,000 riyals from my 10,000, I have 5,000 sitting, 5,000 I'm letting it, you know, work, it's bringing me more money. I put it in the bank gives me interest every month, I get some percentage. I lend some people money, say every month that goes by without you paying me, then you have to pay me 10% of that amount. So the idea that the human beings have, this is profitable, this is making money, I'm chilling, I don't have to work, I don't have to do anything, my money is generating money for me. However, the one who's spending money, what is the general assumption? You're losing money. You have 10,000 riyals, you spend 5,000. What really happens? Apparently, you now have 5,000. You lost 5,000. So the general perception of the children of Adam is, the one engaged in riba is making more money. The one spending in the cause of Allah is losing money. This is what the people say. But Allah said the other way. Allah said, this is not the way. Because here people are dealing with figures, and they're dealing with tangible, worldly understandings, and the understanding of barakah is from Allah, and it is not understood by these individuals. They don't know the value of the barakah and the 1 riyal versus the lack of barakah and 20 million riyals. It's a huge difference in both. And the Shaykh, we were attending his dars this Wednesday, he mentioned an interesting story about a man who had acquired wealth unlawfully by wronging the people. He would hire employees who work for him, work hard, then he wouldn't pay them their money until he had so much money, right? Then what happened? Allah afflicted him with a disease. That disease was so hard to treat that he had to travel in so many different countries. He wind up spending every single riyal he made from these people trying to get cured, and he was never healed. He came back empty-handed, zero, had millions of riyals. Was there any barakah? No, because he acquired them unlawfully. Versus a man who works hard, he hires employees, pays them back, and he only has 10,000 riyals. But Allah protects his health. Allah protects him. A flood takes place, his house doesn't get touched. You know, a huge accident on the freeway, all cars just, you know, slam each other, he just goes between them. Nothing happened to him, you know, poof, dish, and he just goes in the middle. This is barakah from Allah. Don't look at the money now. Had he been involved in these, it would have been a disaster. Allah saved him with the barakah of his wealth. So it is not figures, it's not amount, it's not numbers. It is the protection of Allah to your wealth and to your health versus having a lot of money without that protection. So that makes the whole difference. This is what these people don't understand. فَإِنَّ مَادَّةِ الرِّزْقِ وَحُصُولِ ثَمَرَاتِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The substance of provision, right, and the fruit therein are from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُنَالْ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ وَامْتِثَالِ أَمْرِهِ. Whatever is with Allah cannot be attained except through obedience to Him and the fulfillment of His commands. فَالْمُتَجَرِّعْ عَلَى الرِّبَى يُعَاقِبُهُ بِنَقِيدِ مَقْصُودِهِ. The one who is arrogant, the one who bluntly gets engaged in riba, he will be punished against what he was expecting. He will be punished with something that he does not, with the opposite of his intent. وَهَذَا مُشَاهَدٌ بِالتَّجْرُبَةِ And this is something that is seen in real life experience. And we have seen this with people who think they're going to make money through riba, and Allah destroys their wealth. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا And who is more truthful than Allah's speech? وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ Allah does not love every disobedient or sinning disbeliever. وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَرِ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ And it is the one who disbelieves, or let's say he's ungrateful. Because the word kufr, by the way, the word kufr can mean disbelief, as in rejecting Allah's rather being worshipped. And kufr ni'mah, kufrun ni'mah, in particular, maybe you learn with Dr. Yahya, is rejecting or being ungrateful to the bounty of Allah. A believer may get engaged in kufr ni'mah, meaning you don't recognize Allah's bounty upon you. And Allah says, وَإِذْ أَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَأَلِيمٌ وَلَشَدِيدٌ And your Lord has proclaimed, if you show thankfulness, I will increase you. And if you disbelieve, then verily my punishment is severe. Now here, you know, the ayah, and according to some of the interpretations, and the understanding from other verses, here kufr is not necessarily that you don't believe in Allah, because the ayah is in the context of thankfulness, showing thankfulness to Allah. So when you're ungrateful, when you're ungrateful to Allah, this is a form of disbelief, disbelieving in the right of Allah, that He's the one who gave you this provision, so He should be thanked accordingly. And so the people who don't, Allah does not love those who reject Allah's ni'mah, even if they're believers. وَجَحَدَ مِنْهُ رَبَّهُ وَأَثِمَ بِإِسْرَائِلِ عَلَى مَعَصِيهِ وَجَحَدَ مِنَّةَ رَبِّهُ وَأَثِمَ بِإِسْرَائِلِ عَلَى مَعَصِيهِ And he denied the favor of his Lord, and he is sinful because of his consistency in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَفْهُومُ الْآيَةِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ شَكُورًا عَلَى النَّعْمَاءِ تَائِبًا مِنَ الْمَآثِمِ وَالذُّنُوبِ So the reverse understanding of the ayah is that Allah loves those who are grateful to Him, those who are grateful to the bounties He bestows, and those who repent from sin and disobedience. When Allah says He doesn't love those, meaning He loves the opposite of those, right? If Allah doesn't love the kafir, He loves the believer. If Allah loves the believer, He doesn't love the kafir. Some people try to insist, you know, especially the Christians, you know, they say, God loves, you know, our God is a God of love. Your God is a God of punishment, you know. God is love. It's all about love. He loves you, you know. They speak on behalf of Allah. You know, this is among their unique characteristics, that somehow the average Christian, who supposedly the Holy Ghost is guiding him, he can speak on behalf of Allah without any reservations. He will come and tell you, God loves you. Subhanallah. How do you know, Yaqi? You're not Akhi actually, let me take that back. How do you know? Jimmy Swaggart told us to Ahmad Dida. How do they know who God loves and whom Allah doesn't love? This is nonsense. This is nonsense. And Allah doesn't love everyone. And if any Christian wants to debate with you concerning this issue, give them one simple question. Say, if God is all love, do you believe in the hellfire? And the Christians believe in the hellfire. They will say yes. So then who is the hellfire for? They will not be able to answer. If you see He loves everyone, then there will be no hellfire, my friend. Everybody will be good. There will be no point. Okay, if I don't accept Jesus as my Savior, that means I'm going to hell. Does God love me? They're going to tell you no. So then why are you telling me God is not love? So we're the same now. We're the same. We say Allah loves the good and He doesn't love the bad. And you saying, you know, your God loves the good, He doesn't love the bad. So now let us identify who's the true God and who's the true religion. And when you go there, it will be clear that Islam is the true religion and Allah is the true God. So then, we are right. Allah loves us and He doesn't love you. Until you become a Muslim. That's what it is. You see the point? So don't let anyone trick you with that nonsense, because it is nonsense. Jameel. Verse 277. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أيوة. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون طيب Truly, those who believe and do deeds of righteousness and perform a salah and give zakah, they will have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. O you who have believed, be afraid of Allah, protect yourselves from the punishment of Allah, and give up what remains due to you from riba, from now onward. If you are really believers, and if you do not do it, then take a notice of war from Allah and His Messenger. But if you repent, you shall have your capital sums. Deal not unjustly by asking more than your capital sums, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly by receiving less than your capital sums. The Shaykh said, الآية لبيان أن أكبر الأسباب لاجتناب ما حرم الله من المكاسب الربوية تكميل الإيمان وحقوقه. Now this ayah came after the previous ayah to indicate that among the main reasons why one is able to avoid the involvement or the engagement in riba transactions is what? It's the belief. The fulfillment of the belief, the perfection of the belief and its requirements and its rights. خصوصاً إقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة, particularly the establishment of the prayer and the giving of the obligatory charity, the zakah. فإن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. First, salah will prevent you from fahsha, from fuhsh, which is outrageous sin, not just sin, abhorrent sin, something that is repulsive. والمنكر, all kinds of things that are not allowed, all things that are disapproved. والزكاة إحسان إلى الخلق ينافي تعاطي الربا الذي هو ظلم لهم وإساءة عليهم. زكاة is actually a form of showing goodness towards the creation, which is exactly the opposite of riba. Riba is what? You need money, I give you money, take more. Zakah is, here's money, brother, nothing in return. You see the opposite? Two different opposites. So Allah mentioned that. ثم وجه الخطاب للمؤمنين وأمرهم أن يتقوه ويذروا ما بقي من الربا, من معاملات الربا. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he directed the speech. There was a shift in the speech towards the believers, and he commanded them to have taqwa of him, and that they should abandon what remains of all riba transactions التي كانوا يتعاطونها قبل ذلك, the ones that were engaging in prior to that. وأنهم إن لم يفعلوا ذلك فإنهم محاربون لله ورسوله. And that if they do not do so, they are in fact engaged in war against Allah and His Messenger. Whoa! You know, like, imagine, and this is a worldly example. Imagine an ant, standing before, an army, and saying, I will kill you all! Don't touch me! You know, it's like, is this ant serious? You know, you have like a million soldiers with weaponry and machine guns and everything, and a little tiny ant screaming, I will kill you all! I will destroy you! I'm declaring war against you! It's like, okay, and like, it flies away, in the river, and it's gone. Say, wow! So what a silly ant, right? And this is, there's nothing, I'm just trying to give you how silly it is of a human being when Allah tells him that he's declaring war against Allah and His Messenger, when he gets involved in riba and he doesn't stop. Then what are you going to do with Allah? What kind of war, what kind of victory are you seeking if you declare war against Allah? Who could send a mosquito that will go in your nose, go in some sort of vein, block it, and you will die instantly. And there's nothing you can do. You could slip and break your neck, and there's nothing you can do. You could be sitting here, and like one of the Shia, may Allah curse them, he was giving a khutbah on the minbar, okay? And there was a fan above him. And wallahi, the fan, it broke off the wall and landed right on his head, threw him off the minbar. I was like, beautiful. With not even Tom and Jerry. You shouldn't be watching Tom and Jerry, by the way. It has shirk and kufr. Just in case some people still, think it's fun. This is major shirk in Tom and Jerry, especially the episode where Tom went to Jahannam. when he dreamt that he was punishing Jerry, or maybe you didn't see that episode. Anyways, it makes fun of the deen of Allah. Okay, and this is not, your children cannot watch Tom and Jerry, no Disneyland, no The Lion King, The Little Mermaid. All this junk is infected and infested with shirk and magic, and depending on other, and you can't even believe. Many people don't know this. Be careful of the cartoon network. The whole cartoon industry is a very wicked and subtle one. It doesn't appear. You think it's all normal. But what is it when Tom goes to Jahannam, he supposedly goes to Jannah, and you know who's there? A cat. A cat is judging the people. And you see what they're trying to say. Now your children watches this, and it creates shirk in his mind. You see what I'm saying? And the same thing with The Little Mermaid and The Lion King and other things. Other of these, you know, cartoon. What is that? The dwarf? The seven dwarfs?
No, it's not.
What is magic? Oh, magic? Everything is given life to the dead. You know, he kisses her and she comes back to life. Wait, Shaga. This is unacceptable. But you know, we think, oh, brother, you know, don't be extreme. Hey, brother, man, this is serious. This is a war against Muslims. Trust me, they don't want you to keep your deen, your aqidah sound. They will try to come in from every angle, so you and your family will become lenient. Once you become lenient and you consider practicing Muslims extremes, they have attained their goal. They like you. Oh, this is a good Muslim. So you find these are the people that CNN will interview. These are the people that the news will engage with. The modern Muslims, the one who has washed away half of the deen, considers the people practicing as extreme. This is the moderate Muslim which we should learn from. And so they come and they speak on behalf of Muslims, and they tarnish the image of Islam by lying against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see what I'm saying? So then, nobody should try to think, you know, at any point that he can declare war against Allah and His Messenger. And Allah said in the Quran, if you deal with riba, fa'adhanu, then prepare yourself for war from Allah and His Messenger. Meaning you're ready for the war, and Allah is declaring war and against you, or against that person. You will not win. Wallahi, you will not win. So don't go there. Leave alone this riba in its various forms. It comes in various forms. It comes in insurance form. It comes in some other forms. You know, buying cars. Not all of these cars out there. In fact, most of these so-called means of buying a car via installments and all this, most of them have riba there. Even if they change the name. Be careful. Make sure you study what you're getting into. Don't get excited. You just want to drive a new car and wind up falling into something dangerous. Many, don't ask me after this either about where you bought your car, whether it's halal or haram. I don't know. I'm just saying, be careful. Not everything out there is halal. Not everything out there is halal. And insurance is a whole other discussion. Study, read the fatwa of the ulama concerning health insurance and other kinds of insurance. It is a form of riba. It's a form of riba. It's actually gambling. Just like gambling. How does gambling work? You go to a casino, right? I don't know the name of that game. And you say, I want 50 riyals or number 13 or number 11. Then the guy, he has a dice. He throws a dice, whatever. If it lands on number 11, what will you get? 20,000 riyals, right? If it doesn't get on number 11, what will you get? Nothing. You lose your money. That's insurance. Here's 1,000 riyals. If I get in a car accident, you know, I have a health problem, they will cover me for 100,000 riyals. Money which you don't own. Money which you don't own. If nothing happens to you, will they give you your money back? Same thing. It's gambling, and it negates depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. La ba'as shaykh. You see? So we need to be careful. Now, what happens at your work, they impose insurance on you, blah blah blah. This requires another discussion. If you are forced, you are not able to get out, Allah musta'an. But you don't benefit from it. If you are forced. However, if you have the right to not get it, don't get it. Right? You don't get it. Anyways, if anyone wants fatawa, go to IslamQA. IslamQA.com and put in the search box insurance and read the fatwa, and it's between you and Allah. I'm only conveying the message. Don't talk to me later about your situation. I cannot give you any fatwa. But the fatwa are clear like the sun. There's over 30, 40 of them concerning the various forms of insurance. IslamQA, islamqa.com, put insurance, and read the fatwa on your own. And see whether it is lawful what you're getting at work, or it is unlawful. Then you make a decision accordingly. But I remind you, this dunya is a fitna. This life is a trial from Allah. It requires cautiousness. It requires abandoning things which are pleasing. It requires leaving all things that are beloved to us. It requires that you consider yourself as a prisoner in this dunya. This is the objective of the dunya. So if you start feeling that these things are a little too, you know, constricted, then you must realize that you are missing the objective of life. We were not created here for stability, for continuity, and for having a good old time. No. We were created for Jannah. So we can make it to Jannah. This requires leaving things which are pleasing to the life, to the soul. Yes, I know some of these things may be shocking to you because the whole Muslim world is engaged in them, but that doesn't make it halal. You say, brother, but it makes life difficult. Akhi, Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have created the son of Adam in turmoil, in toil, in difficulty, in hardship. We are expected to suffer until we go to Jannah. You're not going to go to Jannah while lying down on a sleep high mattress, you know, with juice being delivered to you every 15 minutes. That's not the people of Jannah. The people of Jannah are those who sa'u. They did sa'i. They did effort. They exerted themselves. So it requires that we leave some things for the sake of Allah. But here's where the issue of Iman comes. When you believe in Allah, you don't have a problem anyways. Because you know that you're not being left alone. This is where we have the deficiency. It's like, brother, but without the insurance, how am I going to live? Yeah, who's the one who controls you and the insurance and the whole dunya? It is Allah. When you depend on insurance, it's shirk. Because now you think insurance will save you, not Allah. It is Allah who saves, Allah who facilitates, Allah who protects, Allah who sustains. He's testing you. Will you believe in Him? Believe in His promise when He made something haram? Or will you ignore Him and still go to the haram for protection? It's amazing how we do it. He tells us, don't do it. Don't do it, otherwise you will not get my protection. We don't believe Him. And we still want to do it, and we want protection. But it's Allah who controls the effectiveness of things. Is it going to benefit you or not? It's with Allah. So we have to get out. When your iman is high, no debate. When iman is low, we will have a hard time leaving it alone. Brother, but I can't. What if my daughter got in an accident? I don't have money to pay for the hospitals. Ya akhi, subhanAllah, depend on Allah. Don't think about this idea. If this was halal, Allah would have made it halal. You don't know. At the time of accident, alaykum salam, because you left insurance for the sake of Allah. At the time of accident, some man of money will hear about your story and come and say, yeah, here's 50,000 riyals. 30 for the operation, 20 for you. And you didn't pay for insurance. Don't you believe Allah can do this? Yes. Didn't it happen to people we know? It did. Because they depended on Allah. At the time of calamity, they were not left alone. But those who don't depend on Allah insist on insurance, at the time of need, the insurance company say, oh, we don't cover this kind of operation. We don't cover this. Sorry. So now you have to pay out of your pocket. You have lost the trust with Allah, now try to get the money. Not the insurance company will give you, and Mr. 50,000 riyals is not going to come around probably either. You see? So it's a matter of faith, i'tiqad, belief, and not aqadah, and not something that is tied in your heart concerning Allah. If you have it, you will go against the whole world. If you don't have it, you'll be like a leaf. Every time the wind blows, you start shivering. But that's not the quality of the true believer. So we need to put our trust in Allah and leave alone riba in the various forms it manifests, including that of insurance. طيب وهذا نعم وأن وهذا من أعظم ما يدل على شناعة الربا حيث جعل المصر عليه محاربا لله ورسوله. This is among the greatest indications about the abhorrence of riba, so much so that Allah made the one who insists on it as one who's declaring war against Allah and His Messenger. ثم قال, then Allah said, وَإِن تُبْتُمْ, if you repent, يعني من المعاملات الربوية, from the riba transactions, فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ, then to you, you'll be the capital sum. الناس لا تظلمون الناس بأخذ ربا, you will not oppress people by taking their money, by taking riba from them. ولا تظلمون ببغسكم رؤوس أموالكم nor will you lose your capital sum. يعني I gave you 500 riyals, okay, and I had أعوذ بالله, and assuming someone gave someone 500 riyals and he told them that you pay me 10% every month if you don't pay. The ayah came to him, he wanted to repent to Allah. What happens? We say, how much did I lend you? 500 riyals? Give me back my money. Okay? I will not take riba from you. And you will not take my 500 riyals either. Okay? You will not wrong me. I will not wrong you. Or, I will not wrong you. You will not wrong me. Right? My hands are going against my speech. You see what I'm saying? That's what is intended here. نعم. فكل من تاب من الربا فإن كانت معاملات سالفة فله ما سلف أمره منظور فيه. So everyone who repents from riba transactions, whatever he has done in the past, it's over.
Erased.
It's erased, inshallah. وأمره منظور فيه is affairs to be looked into by Allah. وإن كانت معاملات موجودة, this is the one that happened in the past. وإن كانت معاملات موجودة وجب عليه أن يقتصر على رأس ماله. But if it is live transaction, he is obliged to only accept his capital sum. Okay, the one that happened in the past, Allah, you know, he already spent it. He's not going to pay the people back. The one that are live, active right now, he only gets back his capital sum. He doesn't take any more riba. فَإِذَا أَخَذَ زِيَادَ فَقَدْ تَجَرَّ عَلَى riba. But if he takes more than his right, his what is rightfully his, then he has actually got engaged in riba again. وفي هذه الآية بيان لحكمة الربا وأنه يتضمن الظلم المحتاجين بأخذ الزيادة وتضاعف الربا عليهم وهو واجب إنظارهم. And in this ayah there is a clear or there is an indication about the wisdom behind the prohibition of riba. And that riba is, it contains oppression to those who are in need, because you're taking more. You're taking more from them. And it's also, you're multiplying the interest which they are supposed to pay you back, even though you are expected to give them some time, to give them some respite, to give them some time to be able to give you your money back at some later time. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ. And then verse 180 and 281, I think it's suitable that we postpone this to the to next week, inshallah. And after the ayah, actually verse 181, according to many of the ulama, was the last ayah revealed. Among the last verses revealed in the book of Allah, according to many of the ulama, is the coming ayah, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. But we will deal with that inshallah ta'ala next week. جزاكم الله خيرا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.